Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
Go with me to the book of Romans. Today, I want to preach on the power of expectation, part two. And I subtitled it this. It's on your bulletin, but I don't have it on the slide. The power of non-suddenly. Do you remember our text last week talked about how things suddenly happen? When the woman touched the hem of garment of Jesus' garment, she immediately, suddenly became whole. Suddenly, Jesus stopped. But I want to deal with what happens when the sudden doesn't happen. So, in the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 17, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you're there, say amen. If you're not, say go ahead. All right. That is what the scripture means. When God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. If it was normal, I would tell you to look at your neighbor and slap them high five. Now just look at him and smile. The God who brings nothing or something out of nothing, who creates new things out of nothing, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. Believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. How many feels that way at about 65? Even though he's 100 years old, he figured his body was dead, but he still had faith in what God said. And those of you who know the story, him and Sarah had a child way before Viagra was ever invented. He figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promises. In fact, his faith grew stronger. Man, that's where I need to be. That's where I want to be. That my faith grows stronger even waiting for what God said is going to happen. That I don't waver and my faith doesn't become weaker, but it becomes stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. Verse 21, he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Hallelujah. Would you just go bring that verse back up, Mike? Would you just say that verse again with me and say, I am fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promised. Amen, amen. Well, last week we explored the power and revelation of faith found in Mark chapter 5. Thank you, musicians. We discovered the steps that this woman took. She heard, She said and she acted. That's easy. In her story, she enjoyed two immediately's. Immediately, the flow of blood stopped. Immediately, she was healed. Immediately, Jesus turned to find her. I love those immediate moments. How many has had an immediate moment? Raise your hand just for faith. All right? Some folks in here have had immediate moments. What does that mean, preacher? It means that God said and immediately it came to pass. It means that somebody, you got an instantaneous healing. You were sick and all of a sudden you became healed when somebody prayed. You got an immediately result. And we all love the immediately. I love the immediately. I love it when it happens like that. We pray for the immediately. We look for the immediately. We wait on for the immediately. But what if you do all of these things? You hear, you say, and you act, but nothing seems to change. Boy. Nothing seems to have changed, even though you've done these things that you've heard, you've said, you acted, but nothing has changed. Look, all right, now, see, I'm an equal opportunist pastor. Are those of you who have prayed, those of you who have heard, those of you who have said, those of you who have acted, but nothing has changed? Come on, raise your hand. That's right. Oh boy, that's kind of a bummer, pastor. No, I want you to say I'm an equal opportunist. Because I want you to understand that it's not just you. Because some people are sitting in this room and you're saying, well, that's for other people. Those other people who got immediately, then they're probably a better Christian than me. They have more faith than me. They have this more than me. And you're playing right into the hands of the devil. That just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Now, here's some things you got to decide. Did God say? Make sure it wasn't mama who said, or some TV evangelist who said, or even some pastor who said, that is just speaking out of their own faith or their own want in your life. But if you know that God has said, then you can be like Abraham and waver not at the promises. No matter how old you are, no matter that you haven't seen it come to pass yet, you can gain in your faith and declare that if God said it, then I believe that it's going to happen in my life. So the question is, when you hear, you say, you act, but nothing seems to have changed, then now what? God will never allow himself, and here's the deal. Here's why sometimes you do what the formula says, but it didn't happen. Because God will never allow himself to be put in a box. Not my box, not your box, not a preacher's box, not anybody's box. And everybody has a box. Oh, if you want to get healed, here's what you got to do. If you want to get delivered, here's what you got to do. If you want to get the Holy Ghost, here's what you got to do. And that's why God will never let you put him in a box. Because here's the reason. There is no 100%, or there is no formula that works 100% other than Jesus. There's no formula. I can't give you a six-step process that doesn't involve Jesus and that doesn't involve you not putting him in a box. Because here's the deal. God, and I hope I have this, God will not be rendered down to a formula that can be practiced without thought. if I do this, then therefore this will happen. See, I consider myself a decent husband. I used to think I'm a good husband, but I don't know. I'm wavering. I still think I'm a good one. I'm just not a great one now. Why? I won't get into it. Here's the reality. I can't tell you how to, I can tell you some generalities of how to be a good husband to your wife. But your wife is not my wife. And if your wife is my wife, we're going to have words. And one of us going to die. But you understand what I'm trying to say. I'm throwing a little humor there. But here's the reality is that your wife expects something different out of you than probably my wife does. You know, I know a friend of mine that his wife drives him everywhere. He knows how to drive, not well, but he knows how to drive. But she drives, that drives me crazy. Because if I'm awake, I want to be driving. The only time I want to drive is when I'm asleep. You know, I'm like that one guy that said, you know, I want to die like my grandpa in his sleep. Not like the other three screaming and hollering that was in the car. Some of y'all get that. But God will not be rendered down to a formula that can be practiced without thought, without passion, without reliance. Anytime anyone preaches the kingdom and gives you a formula that always works, be cautious. Because everybody's situation is different. It may have worked before. How many's ever done this? That you did one thing and it worked this time, but the next time it didn't work that way. You know, everybody out here, well, I'm looking for a financial blessing and I keep going to the mailbox. Well, your financial blessing might show up in coveralls. You better preach, preacher. I'm trying. Your financial blessing might be some overtime. Yeah. Your financial blessing might be your tires last longer on your car. Your financial blessing might be that your washing machine lasts longer than it should. I mean, I don't know. But what I'm saying is you can't just say. And even as a pastor, you know, I'm one of those guys. I'm not one of those pastors that if I need extra money that I can go out and build something. No, if I build something, I have to pay people to take it. Because I can't build jack. But here's what I do know. But I'm also not one of those. I'm just expecting money to come in, through the mail or through somebody. And God uses all those things. But I don't get reliant on that. You shouldn't get reliant on any one thing. You got to be reliant on Jesus and however he decides that he wants to do it in your life. Lord, I'm open to all avenues. Let me just give you this one time because I'm trying to help somebody. That I remember I was praying for a financial because we were in a smaller church. The only other church I've ever pastored, we were there and it was a small church. We were going through some financial issues and I told God, I said, as long as I'm healthy, you know, I'm not going to be behind on my bills. I'll get out and work. And the only thing that I know how to do is destroy stuff. And so this guy hired me to gut this burned out mobile home in August in Florida. And I was in there and I was covered with smut and I don't want to gross you out, but by the time I was in, I would blow my nose and just smut would come out. And I happened to catch myself in the mirror as I was working. I looked up and I looked like I was going in for special forces or something. Man, I had smut everywhere. And I just started laughing. Here's the reason why I was laughing. Because he wasn't paying me but $5 an hour. Now, this was 26 years ago, and I was making $5 an hour, and I thought, I ain't worked for $5 an hour since I was 17 years of age. Now, I could have been upset, and God, you didn't bring it the way I thought you ought to bring it. I'm just not going to do this. But you know what? I kept on singing, and I kept on gutting, and God, and I can tell you that I bind the devil in the name of Jesus, but I ain't ever had to do that for $5 again in my life. But I'm going to tell you, you got to be willing to do whatever God wants you to do. God will use anything. Help me, somebody. That's why the Bible doesn't have just one example of faith. It contains many, and not many times, no two stories are the same. Look in Hebrews 11, which is the hall of faith. Most of these characters' names are recorded as faith successes, but most of them are not the same, and many of them seem to have failed. We can never measure ourselves by ourselves. Oh, I need to. It's 9:23. Your faith journey ain't my faith journey. And you can't measure your life by other people's Instagram and by other people's Facebook. You can't do it. Because the Bible teaches us some things. Point number one. Faith is lived in community, but worked out individually. Did you hear that part? So if two people heard last week's message and both became excited enough to act on what they had heard, one received their miracle, the other did not, then what do you do? Well, we got to look to another example. Let's look to the father of faith, which is our text, Abraham, because Abraham had no recorded suddenlies. You don't read, and the Lord told Abraham that about this time next year you're going to have a child, and poof, the magic dragon, it happened. No, it doesn't say that. It says you're going to be the father of many nations. He goes, well, you know, and I don't understand Sarah, because Sarah talked to her concubine or her maid Hagar, right? Hagar, and said, go in and lie with my husband. That ain't my wife. I can tell you straight up. And then so Abraham. Stupid. Abraham was like, well, if you insist, I guess I will. So what you want me to do is, go on. He didn't know women. That ain't gonna work. That is not stupid. But they were trying to make it work. What God had said. And when you try to make work what God said, then you get into trouble and you get Ishmael, which is the Middle East, and we got all kind of problems since then. So here's the deal. It is not written, and immediately Sarah conceived and bore Abraham the promised child. No, yet Abraham is held up as an example of faith so that we can learn from. And this is the deal, man. He actually is called the father of faith, and yet he had no suddenlies. So if the father of faith didn't have any suddenlies, then God, however you want to do it in my life, I'm going to believe that because of what you said, I'm going to keep believing that it might not happen tomorrow, it may happen next week or a year from now, but if you said, then I'm going to believe that what you said is going to come to pass. So if you're waiting on your breakthrough, your miracle, your provision, today's message ought to help you. even when there was no reason for hope, is what our text said. When there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept on hoping. Point number two, remember this. Last week I told you that hope means to wait for salvation with joy and full confidence. To wait, to hope, to hope. One preacher said it this way. He said, look with an outstretched neck. I like that. Imagine that you're walking down the pier at the ocean, and there's a man standing near the water, looking out over the water, stretching his neck to almost fall in because he's looking. And you ask him, what are you looking for? He answers without taking his eyes off of the horizon. He answers without any hesitation. He says, everything is about to change, because he almost even sings it. He said, because my ship is coming in. Huh? When he gets here, it's going to change my life. It's loaded down with treasure so heavy it can barely float. It's coming all the way from the land of glory where every need is met. When it gets here, everything is going to be better, but it hadn't got there yet. So that's what faith is. Faith is dancing before you hold it. Woo! Faith is dancing before you hold it. Faith is singing before you see it. Faith is laughing without a reason to laugh. Faith goes, I believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. No matter what I see, I still believe what God has said. See, when the sun sets and the ship doesn't appear, you still got to believe. Abraham, think about this. Abraham encountered countless sunsets without his promise being made manifest. How'd he do it? How'd he do it? Well, I'm going to take a portion of Scripture and I'm going to string it together. I'm going to take a portion of our text and string it together. Because basically here's what it says. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Abraham never wavered in believing that he would become the father of many nations. His faith grew stronger because he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promised. That's why it happened. That's why. See, to survive the sun setting on your hope without becoming heartsick, you must have a sure foundation of your faith. And the problem with most Christians is God is only as faithful as his last miracle in your life. God is only as faithful as his last thing that he did in your life. And that's not where he wants it to be. Point number three is this. Oh, let me give you scripture. I didn't give you a scripture. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desired cometh, it is a tree of life. It is a tree of life. Point number three. The cornerstone of faith is the character of God. The cornerstone of faith is the character of God. Without this conviction, then everything will crumble. Without this conviction that his character, what does that mean? That means you know him well enough that you know he's never lied and will never lie to you. This is the natural heart, not the New Testament heart of faith. The clock ain't for sure, for it is forever changing. It's not a sure thing because it's forever changing. Your calendar is forever changing. That's not a sure thing. His character, God's character, is a sure foundation, for it remains the same throughout the annals of time, through whether you're going through hardship or good ship or the good ship lollipop, he's character still's the same. He said, I'm the same when you go in, and I'm the same when you come out. I'm the same when you praise me, and I'm the same even when you don't praise me. You do not affect God. God is God all by himself, and he is character is a sure foundation, and no matter what you do or I do, it does not change God. Me encountering God changes me, but him encountering me does not change him. Hey! My Lord, I'm glad I came to church this morning. When we set our hope on natural things, clock, calendar, we react in a natural way. Our heart becomes sick. But when we set our hope on spiritual things, the character, the word of God, we react in a spiritual way. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I like what the one little boy did on the baseball team. A man came up and the third baseman was over there. Yeah, better, 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 better. Yeah, better, better. He said, hey, little boy, what's the score? He said, 27-0. He said, man, y'all are killing them. He goes, no, they got 27, we got 0. He said, oh, they're killing y'all. Here's what he said. He looked at the man and goes, oh, no, we ain't got up to bat yet. That's called faith. That's called, I know what the score is, but it hadn't been my time yet. My time's coming because God said my time's coming. It might not be here today, but my time's coming. And when my time's coming, devil, you better watch out. I've watched you run over my family. I've watched you do over my finances. I've watched you do over my health. But my time's coming, and it's about here. I'm looking. I'm receiving. I'm hoping against hope, because my God's character is all that I need. I wish somebody would praise him in this place. That's what Abraham looked to. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what he said. But when we know he is faithful, we are strong. Our faith is focused on his character, not a clock or a calendar. God is always working when we don't see him. Oh, did you hear that? We sing the song. He's working even when I don't see him. He's working. All right? So, you know, one thing that I gotta hit this. One thing that God did for Abraham while he waited on the promise and his faith didn't go down, made him rich. Hey! Made him rich while he waited. That kind of makes waiting a little easier. Well, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Lord, I'm believing for that kid, but thank you for this house. Come on, somebody. Lord, I thank you that you're gonna launch me, but Lord, thank you for this pay raise. Come on, somebody. We don't know how God did it. The Bible doesn't even say how God blessed Abraham and made him very rich, but we do know that he blessed him, and I believe that it was because of his faith, the character of God. So even while he was waiting for his one thing, God was doing something. Therefore, we need to be aware that while we're waiting for the one thing, don't be fooled into thinking that God, and I know this ain't good English, but that God ain't doing nothing. You can't be fooled because God is always doing something. Give praise for what God is doing while you're waiting. Oh, did you hear that? Give God praise for what he's doing while you're waiting. Well, Pastor, I just can't find what he's doing. Well, listen, before the Hebrew boys were delivered out of the fiery furnace, God used the fire to burn off the ropes of bondage on their life. So if I'm going to walk around in the fire, thank you for getting the ropes off of me so I can walk around. You got to look for the blessing. Quit looking that the promise ain't got there. Start looking at what God's doing in your life and around you while you're waiting on what God promised to come to your life. Even if it ain't the one thing, it's something. And that ain't nothing. Did you hear that part? Even when it ain't the one thing, it's something, and that ain't nothing. The fastest way to get God to quit moving in your life is quit giving him praise for what he's already doing. But Pastor, you don't know. Pastor, I've been sick. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you that I might be sick, but thank you I got somebody to help me. Lord, I've been sick, but thank you I got somebody to take care of me. Lord, I've been sick, but thank you. You can find, Lord, thank you for my house. Well, you ain't seen my house. Thank you for I got a roof over my head. You can always find somebody worse off than you. Quit comparing yourself to Facebook and everybody else. No, start just going, thank you, Lord. Because God knows what you have need of. All right, I'm going to close with this statement because I got to quit. I'm going to close with this statement. Give my last one. Expectation has no expiration. Expectation has no expiration. Woo! You don't know when it's going to happen. There was a time, I just love using y'all because y'all, there was a time you didn't have any of your children. But you got two of them. Now she got a third one, and we're believing for the fourth one. Amen? Am I all right, baby? Well, Pastor, no. She knows. She messed up. She lived a life contrary to God, contrary to the Word of God, and her three kids were taken away from her. But then she met Jesus. Everything changes when you meet Jesus. I didn't say when you come to church. Everything changes when you truly meet Jesus. Now I believe you can meet Jesus at church. But then the Lord blessed her with a man. A good looking. Not so good looking man, but a good looking man. Then the next thing you know, well, before that, got him off drugs separately, got him into church. They met Jesus, all of a sudden started loving each other. They read the scripture and read it wrong because they read my shack, your shack, and a bed we go. And you said I was all right. But they kept coming to church and begin to realize that's not God's plan. So they got together and said, Pastor, we got to get married if we're going to live together and have God over our lives. So I married them right there. Now they got their two children that were taken away from her, got back. She's had one, they've had one together and waiting on the third one to come back. And though it tarry, expectation does not have an expiration. I am believing. I'm believing for you. And you, and you, and you, and for me, that what God has said, His character is good enough to bring it. Glory to God. My God. Yarobos. Here's what I want you to do this morning. Now we're gonna take precautions. We're not gonna let everybody lay hands on people. Even though I think our people are clean, but still we ain't gonna do that. But here's what I want to do. Everybody stand to your feet. Ah, hallelujah. Firm foundation. I will put my upon your firm. So here's what we're going to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I give you my word. I won't embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up to the front, especially today. But if you're in this house and you don't know Jesus, man, that's where it's got to start. You got to get to know Jesus. You got to ask Him to come into your life. It's as simple as A, B, C. A, you admit you're in need of a Savior. B, you believe that He died on the cross. C, confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved according to Romans 10:9. I promise you I will not embarrass you, but if that's you, Pastor, I need Jesus in my life. Put your hand up right now. You can put it right back down. But anybody in this building, you don't know Jesus, but you want to right now. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.